I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
It's the WEOL Morning Show. And this morning, we're going to talk about hunger, harvest for hunger. You've probably seen the brown bags out there or the campaigns going on at your supermarket or other locations. And we have with us the executive director of Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio, Julie Chase Moorfield. Julie, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So I'm looking at the Second Harvest website, and there's a brand new video that's been posted out there, kind of explaining what you do, what you hope to be doing, because it talks about the expansion as well. But in that video, there was a phrase in there that I had not heard before. It's called food insecurity. What does that phrase mean? What's that about?
You know, it was coined a few years ago by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it was, the more politically correct way to say hunger. Food insecurity doesn't sound quite as bad, but it's what we would term as somebody who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. So, I mean, it's basically what people think of as hunger.
Yeah. Well, I think hunger is the better word because it kind of connotes something when we hear it. To us as a giver of something, of the need for that. If someone says, I'm hungry, you kind of understand what that means. I'm insecure about my food. But I guess that's the government for you. Talk about the Harvest for Hunger campaign. It's going on right now. How long will it go for this time period?
It is. It lasts until April 4th. So I think where most people are going to see the campaign is going to be out at the grocery stores. So Giant Eagle and the Heinen stores have been long, long time partners of Harvest for Hunger and are huge supporters, not only of the Harvest for Hunger campaign, but also throughout the year, donating any food that they're not able to use in the stores, donating it to the food bank. So they're wonderful partners to us. So you'll see those $1, $5, and $10 coupons in the store. So every dollar that's donated through Harvest for Hunger allows us to supply 5 meals out into the community.
So 5 meals would be 5 times that, $10, whatever it would be that too. So it obviously shows how you can do that. How are you able to kind of to do that? I'm at the grocery store buying meals for 3 people, and I look at my budget, yet you're able to take that dollar and really turn it into something.
Well, and I think that's actually where the video on our website really helps to explain sort of the how can we leverage all of that together, because we operate a large distribution center. So when we're bringing food in, we're bringing in semi-truckloads of food, not just a case or two. So we're able to bring all of that food in and buy it in quantity so that we can keep that cost down, and then we're able to distribute it more efficiently. Also, we work with federal and state food commodities, so we're kind of combining all of those food sources that allows us to just do it more efficiently and more effectively.
You talk about in the video also the expansion that's coming.
There is. We're in the middle of building a new facility out on Baumhart Road. We're currently in about 16,000 square foot, so we're going to be going into 41,000 square foot, and that's going to be about the middle of this year that we're actually going to move into that facility, because we've really maxed out our capacity in our current building.
And that's not because you're inefficient or something. It's because the need out there is growing, and you realize that with a bigger facility, you're able to then serve more meals throughout North Central Ohio. That includes a large area, right?
It does. We're Lorain, Erie, Huron, and Crawford counties. And my warehouse staff and my drivers have done a phenomenal job of making a small building work for just about as long as we possibly could. But we just don't have the space. And a lot of the food sources have changed. So what used to be shelf-stable food, the canned goods, the boxed foods, has really changed dramatically to frozen foods, refrigerated foods, produce. So half of what we distribute now is either frozen or refrigerated. And so we really needed to dramatically expand that space to be able to bring in more of those types of foods that are available to us.
Well, you want to do more than just the box of macaroni and cheese and the peanut butter, which could make, you know, have someone survive and be, you want to give them more of the healthy choices. So even after that, maybe after they get back on their feet, they're kind of used to having all those other types of food than the ones that may have just been coming from
absolutely.
The government.
Absolutely. Produce is a huge part of what we do. It's become a big part of our distribution because we want people to have healthy food choices. Just because you don't necessarily know where your next meal is coming from doesn't mean you don't want it to be a healthy one. And unfortunately for a lot of people, the least expensive food is the stuff that's not really that great for you. And so produce is something that we feel very strongly about, you know, allowing that to be a choice for someone. And we're lucky that we're in an area of the country where we've got these great farmers and growers. A lot of the produce is local. It comes from Huron County, comes from Lorain County. These are local people growing the food, and so we're fortunate to be able to utilize that and be able to distribute it.
Julie, what else can people do besides getting that coupon at the grocery store?
We also have a lot of workplaces that are running campaigns, and absolutely can still run a campaign right now. A lot of schools, a lot of organizations. There's information on our website, which is secondharvestfoodbank.org, kind of all spelled out. And there's information on there about how to run a Harvest for Hunger campaign. But we have a lot of great companies that have been with us for a number of years that do campaigns with their employees. Not only team building experience, but to help give back to the community.
You have something coming up at the end of the month related to workplace. Usually people bring, go and buy a lunch. You have something called Brown Bag Day. I guess I can kind of ID what that's about, but if you can explain how that goes.
Sure. March 25th is actually Brown Bag Day, where we encourage people to bag their lunch, bring it to work with them or bring it to school with them, and then donate what they would have spent on lunch to Harvest for Hunger. So if you were spending, $3 or $5 on your lunch, for us that's 15 meals or 25 meals that we can distribute.
And this help that you give, as you mentioned, you're kind of a distribution center. So there are all these other places where the people are actually coming to get the food or to get the prepared meals. Talk about some of those connections.
Sure. We have about 110 partner agencies that we work with. And so we are working with food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters. We spearhead the backpack program in all four of our counties, kids cafe programs, which is an evening meal programs for kids. So, there's a lot of different partners that we have out there who are literally putting the food into the hands of someone who needs it. That's not our role. Our role is distribution. So we don't actually directly help any clients. Our role is to put that food right into the hands of the food pantry so they can help people all throughout those four counties.
How many meals this year you think you'll provide?
Over 6 million. Our distribution is closing in on about 7.5 million pounds. So we can equate that to a little over 6 million meals.
And how about the number of people who might be helped out?
We have, we actually did a hunger study last year. And so what it showed was that we're serving in all four of our counties about 65,000 people a month.
I'm pausing there just because, that's a lot of people that are really in need of food all the time. We went, the last five some years going through tough economic situations. Do you see an ebb and a flow, or is it sort of constant for you, really, in who you serve and how that is impacted?
Unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of ebbs. Since the recession started, the number of people that have needed help has pretty much gone straight up. There really hasn't been any changes to that, and we haven't seen any changes in the last couple of years. It's slowed down a little bit. It's not increasing quite as dramatically as it was initially. But it certainly hasn't stopped going up. The number hasn't stopped going up.
You mentioned how your Second Harvest doesn't really deal directly with the people receiving it. How do you get some of that feedback? Because many times those people who are helping out see the results. There's sort of a good feeling that goes with it. You know that it's happening. Did you ever have any impacts to, find out about the people? That
oh,
kind of
sure.
Thing? We
do a lot with our farmers market program where we do direct distribution in partnership with the food pantries of produce. But we've also, in addition to the hunger study, where we look at who's being served and how they need help, which has just been a wonderful study and something we use to gauge, how we do our programming. But also, over the last few years, we've had our clients, the clients at the food pantries actually and soup kitchens actually fill out these paper plates. We call it the Paper Plate Project, where they can actually write down, why they're there and how what brought them to the food pantry. And in some cases, how they feel about coming to the food pantry. And that's extremely helpful in understanding, how people feel about the programs. Because one, it's, really any person from any walk of life, you see things where people write, people who have master's degrees, to somebody who's, a single mom with a couple of kids. But what's, I think, always, really heartwarming to me is how often people write down how kind everybody at the food pantries are to them and how kind people are at the programs and how it was so difficult to ask for help. But people were so nice when I got here that I felt like it would be okay and that somehow I would get through this and it would be all right.
many times people maybe use that as a last resort. They try everything possible and they think, I don't really need help. I'm not the person that doesn't have a meal. But because of financial situations, as you know, we have to eat. So that's something that really will come about. But as you mentioned in your video, there's a lot of times choices that people have to make. And sometimes they'll forego eating so that their child can eat or that they can stay in their apartment. So those are always the things that you're dealing with too.
It is. And that's one of the things that definitely comes out of our hunger study is that those choices, those difficult choices between, you know, what do you pick? Do you pick paying your rent or do you pick, you know, food? And I think more often than not, you have to pay the rent, but you can sort of get away with, you know, maybe not eating as much or maybe not eating as well, or maybe the parent doesn't eat. And I've heard that a lot is, you know, parents say like, my kids always eat. My kids always eat. You know, and it's like, well, what about you? Well, you know, if it's okay, I can eat. But my kids always eat. I want to make sure that they're okay.
Right. And it starts there, and it's a snowball that can develop, too, because if you're not eating properly, health issues could come about, which then create medical expenses, and then you're still in a tough situation.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that came out of the hunger study was that folks who are considered to be food insecure have much higher incidence of high blood pressure. They have much higher incidence of diabetes, which are all precursors to a lot of other not great health conditions. So we know that, you know, not eating well and the stress of that is, you know, it causes you to have poorer health.
Our guest today is Julie Chase Moorfield with the Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. The Harvest for Hunger campaign is going on right now. The logo with the brown bag and the green Harvest for Hunger. I think that's green as well, at least. And people can then help at different locations. Many of the grocery stores, supermarkets, and other locations will have those tickets right at the checkout, right?
They will. They'll have them right there at the checkout, so you can just pull it off, and the cashiers will scan it for you. The cashiers are just, again, they're wonderful. They do a great job for us. I mean, this is obviously something else that they're doing in addition to their normal job. So we appreciate so much all the support from the grocery stores for the campaign.
Makes it so easy. They just scan it, and then they just add that to your bill, and you can help out in a very simple way. Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. Again, Julie, thanks for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing the details this morning. You can also check out details at weol.com. We do have information about Second Harvest on our website.